وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. How's everyone? Alhamdulillah. So today, inshallah, we're continuing with our tafsir of Surah Al-Qiyamah. We just covered the ayat 14 and 15. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة ولو ألقى معاذيره. Rather, man is against himself a witness, even if he persists or even if he presents his excuses. Then now we come to a new ayah, which is a new section, and it seems like a jumla i'tiradi. It seems like it's like interjecting and just kind of out of nowhere, starting a whole new subject. Because we were talking about what? That on Judgment Day, you'll be informed of what you've done, and you know fully well of your own self, and you're going to give excuses, but you actually know the reality. So it's talking about this scene in Judgment Day of the truth coming out. And then Allah says what? لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. Ayah number 16, that's what we're taking a look at today. لا تحرك means don't move. لا تحرك به, don't move with it. We're going to talk about the it here, but it's very obvious. This is referring to what? Reciting the Quran very quickly. لسانك, you know, with your tongue, where you're moving your tongue a lot. لتعجل به, so that you could hurry it. Again, this is going back to the it. What is this it? It's referring to the Quran. So this seems quite odd. Why is it just jumping from the subject? And why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now giving this statement? And furthermore, giving what seems to be a reprimand. And that's a question. Is this a reprimand? Is this a sin that the Prophet ﷺ was doing? And so, wallahu a'lam, but it seems that any scholars that claim that this was a sin, I think a good response is, the correct opinion, is that it was permissible to follow the revelation with repetition, you know, quickly reciting as he did, until this verse clarified, okay, don't do that anymore. So it's not that he was doing something evil, but he had this habit of trying to follow up the recitation. We're going to see the hadith about it in a moment. And so after this, if he continued, that would be a problem. But prior to that, no, you can't say claim that he was doing something evil or sinful, a'udhu billah. Now, is this a break from the subject? Well, some scholars suggest that as the revelation was coming about these ayat of Judgment Day, the Prophet ﷺ was, you know, following up and trying to repeat them over and over again so that he would memorize them and hold on to them. And then since he was doing that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Jibreel alayhi salam to switch the topic and address the repetition. However, suggesting that this section is an aberration from the subject matter would claim that there's a lack in continuity. You know, like, oh, I have to stop and interject with something that doesn't fit. A'udhu billah. And this would bring into question the cohesion of the surah. And then it would, even furthermore, bring into question the cohesion of the Qur'an. Is there a natural flow to things? And I think that this should be rejected, because most definitely, without a doubt, the Qur'an has an incredible flow, cohesion, subject matters move together brilliantly and perfectly. So it wasn't like an aberration or from the subject matter. And we'll see how that is the case in a moment, inshallah. What's also just a side point that is quite beautiful is that the Prophet ﷺ would use miswak when he woke up in the morning, and also when he came home after a long day, to make sure that his mouth is fresh, you know, especially if you are speaking in close connection with your wife, or you want to, let's say, kiss, or whatever the case may be. And this is a very beautiful practice. If you're running around all day and you're developing, you know, becoming sweaty, or whatever the case is, you want to make sure that you freshen up, right, when you come home. And so the Prophet ﷺ would make wudu, freshen up, and use the miswak. In fact, he would do it very often and encourage us to use miswak very often as well. Why? Because his job was to be a mouthpiece for Allah Ta'ala's revelation. He was a mouthpiece for Allah's revelation. So he was adamant to keep his mouth ready for any new revelation that he'd have to convey. This is a very beautiful concept. Recognizing the value of your ability to speak, communicate, and you know how powerful those words can be. Because at the end of the day, this is Allah's miracle. So clearly it must be very, very powerful. Now, in terms of sabab al-nuzul, or context of revelation, what was happening? Ibn Abbas, he says, كَانَ يُحَرِّكُ شَفَتَيْهِ إِذَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ فَقِيلَ لَهُ لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكْ يَخْشَى أَنْ يَنْفَلِتَ مِنْهُ. That Ibn Abbas said, the Prophet ﷺ used to move his lips, you know, repeating very quickly, when the divine inspiration was being revealed to him. So the Prophet ﷺ was ordered not to do that, not to move his tongue so quickly, which he used to do out of fear that some words might escape him. You guys can imagine, if I told you something extremely important, you know, sometimes people say, like, you know, oh yeah, the code, you need the Wi-Fi pass, it is 5, 6, da, 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 and they just start, you know, A underscore star, and you're like, oh, okay, and you try to repeat it and try to memorize it really, really quickly. There's this desperation to hold on to it. And so obviously the Prophet ﷺ having the utmost respect and honor and consideration for the Qur'an, is going to try to repeat it and hold on to it. However, this can lead to what? Information overload. When somebody is busy trying to remember something, their mind is focused on, their mind is not focused on the new information, right? If I'm speaking right now and I mention the first point and you're so busy repeating the first point, as I move through the second and third, it's very, very likely that because your mind is so busy with the first, you actually don't remember. And so this can be a problem. When someone is speaking, don't just wait for your turn to speak. The lesson here for all of us is that, you know, yes, definitely, if you guys are listening to this lecture, if I say something you want to question or make a comment about, maybe write it down, but try to write it down quickly so that you can free up your mind to continue paying attention to the flowing conversation instead of getting so preoccupied with, oh, but what about this question? What about this comment? And you're so busy that you actually miss the whole talk or parts of the talk. You don't want to waste your mental energy to refine, you know, whatever you want to say. You want to really, really give your full focus. And obviously, we know that the Prophet ﷺ loved the Qur'an and felt that a great responsibility to memorize it, to convey it, as he was divinely assigned this job. However, Allah Ta'ala guarantees that this message will reach the whole world, so we shouldn't rush to be nervous about it. This is exactly what he's being told. Look, it's going to work. You're going to do your job. This is going to happen. So don't panic and don't overly freak out about it. Just know that you're doing your best, and that's what matters. And we know this, that this is human nature. When a hungry person sees a feast in front of them, they want to eat all of it in one bite, right? Your eyes are too big for your stomach, as they say. Ramadan, you stack your plate so big when you know you can't finish that food. Why? Because you want it so badly. So similarly, when the Prophet ﷺ received revelation, he was always eager for more guidance from his Lord. But that doesn't mean that you should overlook what's right in front of you in anticipation of what's coming next. I want more, more, more. Let's keep going. No, I just revealed one ayah. Just relax. Focus on that. The next ayah, focus on that. Don't say, okay, what, you know, let's keep going. More, more, more. You know, this idea, as noble as it might be in terms of intent, it unfortunately causes you to overlook what's right in front of you. No, take your time with what is being said and just focus fully piece by piece, inshallah, as Allah Ta'ala decides to reveal it. This is reminiscent of the youth that say, for example, we have some youth that they say, I really want to study Islam overseas in a few years from now. Yet they don't take advantage of the services currently offered right here in their community. And this happens all the time. Unfortunately, some people used to do this. I used to know lots of examples of people that would say this. Oh, I want to go and become a hafiz and an alim and study Arabic and this and that. I'm like, all right, what year? Oh, in a couple years from now. That sounds great, brother. But in the meantime, you know you can do your hifz with local imam so-and-so. You know you can start learning Arabic with this, you know, I don't know, YouTube channel, app, whatever the case is. You know, you can take advantage and then go overseas. But no, I want more, more, more. So this idea of always chasing the next thing and always rushing to the next thing, unfortunately, you don't focus on what's right in front of you. So this is, a related concept. Now, what I find really beautiful is how it connects to the context prior to it. Because like I said, it seems like an aberration. It seems like a sharp contrast in terms of the content matter. However, there's two ways of looking at it that you see the difference, or you see how it flows. So let's take a look. It's fascinating that the previous ayah was what? وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَذِيرًا. That the human being, he's in full view of himself, right? Even if he throws out his excuses, even if he offers so many excuses and tries to hide who he is, the truth is always manifest. So this is drawing our attention to the disbeliever whose lips are rapidly offering excuses on Judgment Day. No, it wasn't my fault, it wasn't me. It's because of him, it's because of them, it's because, right? So there are people that will be giving so many excuses on Judgment Day, and then the context immediately switches to the Prophet ﷺ, and his lips are also rapidly moving, trying to desperately memorize each word of the revelation. So what is the connection? Perhaps, wallahu alam, it could be that just showing you how one person is trying to justify their evil and the other one is trying to actually genuinely please Allah Ta'ala, but they're both kind of looking in the same sort of fashion, you could say. And so there is a connection between the behavior. That's in and of itself quite interesting. In addition to that, when you speak in a fast and nervous manner, you appear to be a nervous person, due to dishonesty and guilt, right? Think about the guy on Judgment Day. Why is he stuttering and talking so quickly? Because he knows he's guilty. Thus, whenever you're conveying the message of Islam, or the Qur'an in particular, make sure you're not overzealous in your approach. Why? Because it could undermine your credibility. Actually, to be honest, this happened to me last night, literally, subhanAllah. For those of you that were there, we had a get-together with a group of pastors and was one pastor and a group of like du'at, you know, like preachers and so forth at the library, and they served a nice meal and so forth. It was a really nice get together, and I was speaking to the principal of a Christian school. And he was a really nice guy. And we had a great conversation. And I, now that I'm looking back on it, I'm realizing that I do what I often do, unfortunately, which is that when he would make a point, I would say to him, I mean, I'd listen, of course. I'm not like interrupting and being rude or anything. Alhamdulillah, inshallah. But, you know, after he'd made his point, I'd say, okay, let me respond to you. And I'd say, okay, here's one point, here's one point, here's one point. And then I kind of just, I felt like maybe I was overwhelming him. And I was like, and then as the conversation moved on, every time he made a certain point, I would have a number of rebuttals, and then I'd refer him back to my YouTube channel and say, I have a video on that subject, I have a video on that subject, you know, and I'm like, please take a look, because I don't want to just overwhelm you with information. If you just take your time, I did the research on this stuff, and you could look at it. And so there's good in that, but at the same time, if you overwhelm your audience and make it look like you're desperate, they feel like you're almost a like a used car salesman, you know, like a scam artist, you know, hey, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. You just seem to be overwhelming your audience, and they're like, look, this guy, he seems too shady. I'm not trying to be shady, I'm just really zealous. I'm very passionate about the subject. Also, so here's another perspective that I thought was really, really beautiful. What's the correlation between the previous section? Let's take a look at all three ayats building up to this. يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرَةً وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَذِيرَةً. Allah Ta'ala first in ayah number 13 mentions the disbelievers, how they had messed up priorities, right? On that day, you'll be informed of what you prioritized and what you procrastinated. قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ. You put this forward, you put that in the back burner, right? So, addressing messed up priorities. Next is what? You are in full view of what you do. You know exactly what you're doing. Disbelievers are warned that they should, you know you could do better. You know you should be better. You know yourself. And then point number three is what? That they make all sorts of false excuses. Now, could you imagine the Prophet ﷺ listening to this and thinking, maybe this applies to me. Maybe I'm not prioritizing the Quran. Maybe I'm not doing it enough. Number two, maybe I'm not honest with myself. Maybe I can try even harder. Point number three, maybe I'm making false excuses for myself. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, لا تحرك به. No, this is not for you. You're not the one who's not trying hard enough. You're not the one who's making false excuses. You're not the one who's cutting corners. It's not about you. You can slow down. لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. You are going plenty sincerely and putting in a lot of effort. So subhanAllah, I thought that was a truly beautiful concept, that these ayat are being revealed about disbelievers, and the Prophet ﷺ, in his sincerity, is wondering, is this applying to me? And Allah Ta'ala is reassuring him, no, you don't have to go faster. If anything, you can actually slow down. So subhanAllah, I thought that was quite fascinating. Now, how does this apply to us? Well, the fact of the matter is, whenever certain commands come to the Prophet ﷺ, by extension, they're coming to us. So therefore, what should we do? Don't be hasty with the Qur'an. Don't be hasty with the Qur'an. Some people have this impression, oh, I need to dedicate my life 1 year, maybe 2 years to Hifz al-Qur'an, and then after that I can just stop and I'll be good. No. MashaAllah, if you can do Hifz al-Qur'an for an intensive, that's beautiful, go for it. But if not, memorize Qur'an throughout your life. That's actually the methodology of the Sahaba. The Sahaba did not become Hufadh by just going to an Alamiya program and grinding it out super fast and then being done with it. As noble as that is, and as beautiful as that is to become a hafiz sort of quickly, there is the, you could say, the method that was actually endorsed by the Prophet ﷺ. As the Qur'an's coming down, they're taking 10 ayat at a time, page by page, slowly by slowly, and digesting it. This is very, very important. Another very important point is what? The Prophet ﷺ often was catering to people who were insincere. The Prophet ﷺ was often catering to people who were insincere. What do I mean by this? People were asking about Judgment Day. Right? As was mentioned in the surah, ayah number 6. يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. When is this judgment day coming? Right? So we cover this in ayah number 6. And so this ayah is saying what? Don't move your tongue asking such questions to Allah. Ya Allah, give me more information. I told you what's going to happen on judgment day. I told you, وَخَسَفَ الْقَمَرُ وَجُمِعَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. I gave you certain information in this surah about what's going to be happening, the signs of that day. You don't have to keep saying, they're asking me for more. Can I have more? Can I have more? No. These people aren't even sincere. They're mocking you. Oh yeah, yeah, when's it going to happen? Oh yeah, what's the date? Oh yeah, really? Is that what's going to happen? And you're actually sincerely trying to, you know, maybe if I give them a few more answers, maybe they'll finally accept. They're not sincere. You're trying to cater to these insincere people. And so Allah Ta'ala is saying, it is upon us to collect and clarify all the signs and descriptions of Judgment Day in the Qur'an to benefit the people, but you're not allowed to ask about this particular date. Thus, فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ means therefore follow, as in follow it, يعني follow this Qur'an and prepare for that day. Don't just try to find out the date, prepare for that day. So subhanAllah, this is a very interesting perspective on this ayah. Now, the disbelievers may also dismiss certain miracles. You know, شق القمر, right? The splitting of the moon, or whatever the case may be. They may see something truly miraculous and then say, yeah, but I'm not convinced enough. Give me something else. And so now the Prophet ﷺ is saying, I need more evidence. I need more arguments. I need more revelation. And Allah is saying, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. No, you don't need to hurry this up. This isn't a question of like, I gave them 10 proofs, but they need 12. And that's the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, that's the one drip that's going to spill over. No, these people have hard hearts, as Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن يَرَوْا كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا. Even if they were to see every sign, they wouldn't believe. Allah mentions in Surah An'am, ayah number 25. That's the way these people are. So you being sincere for people who are insincere is not appropriate for your status. The Prophet is Al-Habib, he's the beloved. Allah Ta'ala, you know, Al-Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala does not want to see him belittling himself for people who are so vile. So you don't have to feel the need to rush in revelation. Another sort of similar perspective. Do you guys know what it's called when somebody asks like 1,000 questions just to throw you off? It's a rhetorical device. You know what it's called in debate? There's a term for it. No, that's not a straw man. Gaslighting. That's not gaslighting. MashaAllah. Too much TikTok. Okay. So, a straw man is when you misrepresent. When, like, if my opponent has a certain perspective, I misrepresent it, then destroy that misrepresentation, and then it's like, see, I beat your position. That wasn't my position to begin with. It was just a straw man, and then I knocked down the straw man and called myself a tough guy. So it's not a straw man. And you said gaslighting? Gaslighting is when you're lying in such a way that you're trying to convince the other person that they're crazy. So no. So it's not just lying. It's like, no. Like, you know, actually, no, it comes from. It comes from a very old movie. There's a very old movie where some man apparently kept on changing, dimming the lights. And every time the wife would come in and be like, is it dimmer in here? She'd be like, no, something wrong with your eyes. And so he would try to make her feel like something's wrong with her, and he was trying to make her slowly go crazy, which is like the sickest thing you could do to a human being. It's horrible. So you're trying to make them question their own sanity. It's horrible. Absolutely disgusting. Sorry, it's called gish galloping. So if somebody is in a debate with you, oh yeah, you say Islam is true, what about this and 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 this, and this, huh? And you're like, are you kidding me? How am I supposed to respond to 15 things in one time? Like, is this a joke, right? So obviously you're not actually sincerely asking me anything. If you were sincere, you would have asked one question and waited for a response, and then number two and waited for a response. This is wrong. So gish galloping is to overwhelm an opponent by presenting an excessive number of arguments with no regard for their accuracy or strength, with a rapidity that makes it impossible for the opponent to address them in the time available. Disbelievers would make the Prophet ﷺ feel bad that he couldn't answer every possible question immediately because he had to wait for revelation. So Allah Ta'ala is reassuring him that the revelation will come at the right time. Do not try to rush it. And that he shouldn't feel bad or intimidated by the gish galloping people, the disbelievers who were doing so. He sincerely wanted to answer, but they weren't sincerely asking questions. Their goal was to overwhelm. So this is very relevant for us. If you can't answer every question, don't feel overwhelmed. Don't feel bad. Don't panic. You're only a human being. The reason that they're talking this way is because they're impulsive. And how beautiful is this? The whole surah is talking about being impulsive. 3 ayat to prove it. This is a short surah. It's not that long. And yet, ayah number 5, بَلْ يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لِيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ. He wants to jump towards the thing that's right in front of him. The surah is talking about being impulsive. Number 2, ayah number 13, يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ. What did you prioritize and what did you leave on the back burner? This is talking about what were you impulsively running towards and what were you delaying and procrastinating about. And finally, which we haven't covered, ayah number 20, كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةُ. You love that which is immediate and quick. So this whole surah, this is the sad part. Most of us don't pay attention to overwhelming themes of a surah. But Allah Ta'ala is showing us, and we should pay close attention, what is Surah Qiyamah talking about? One of the big themes here is about being impetuous, and so this is an example of it, that you don't be like them. They might be in haste. لَا تُحَرَّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ. Don't be this type of person, what's it called? Immediate satisfaction, you know, the customer's always right, you know, what's it called, same day shipping or all this nonsense, right? Try, inshallah, to recognize that this deen has to transform your heart slowly and organically. This reminds us of a very important lesson in da'wah. In da'wah, try to maintain the driver's seat position. There's a nice expression, you know, that if the disbeliever says, what about this? And you try to answer, okay, before you finish. And what about that? You try to answer before you finish. And what about that? They are the one in the driver's seat and they're driving you nowhere. They're driving you in circles. You're not answering anything. You need to learn when this conversation is going in circles, how to pause and say, okay, hold on. What exactly did you ask me first? You asked me this? I think we need to focus on that. Now you gain control of the driver's seat and now you're taking control of the conversation. Very, very important. lesson to learn. Now the question is, why was the Quran only implied? لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. Why is it it instead of Al-Quran? Why isn't the word Quran used? Just it is being used. Wallahu alam, because it's so obvious. This is called Dhamir al-Sha'n, that it's something that is left unmentioned because you're supposed to be thinking about this Quran. The Quran is supposed to be on your mind, and it's something that is right in your face, so Allah doesn't have to spell it out. Few final points. I know I'm going very long on this one single ayah. Don't worry, I'm not going to go to a second ayah. But I just thought, this is a very powerful ayah, so I want to take my time with it, you know, not hurry. لا تحرك به لسانك. So, when are you supposed to hurry? There's a nice quote by Hatim al-A'sam, I think. He said that one of the statements of the scholars of old, so it was a very, you know, old sort of concept, which is what? العجلة من الشيطان إلا في خمس. That rushing is from shaitan except for in five instances. إطعام الطعام إذا حضر الضيف. Serving food when the guests arrive. You don't leave the food to get cold, right? When the food's ready, serve right away, right? You don't want to make people hungry and so on and so forth. Number two, تهجيز الميت إذا مات. When the person dies, you got to hurry up at the funeral. You don't leave bodies, you know, out for a long period of time, obviously. Alhamdulillah, I think these ones everybody gets. Number three is what? التزويج البكر إذا أدركت. That getting the young woman, and for our purposes, I'll say for both, you know, the young woman, the young man, married when the time is right. In other words, you reach that age, you have that desire, what are you delaying for? And this is the one that I think that we violate the most, which is what? Oh yeah, maybe in a few more years. Brother, how old are you? I'm about 40. You're not a young man anymore. What are you doing? So subhanAllah, I think this is something that we really need to take a little bit more seriously. There's a lot of young men that are just waiting and waiting and waiting. Like, come on, man, this is not good. Next, وَقَضَاءُ الدَّيْنِ إِذَا وَجَبَ, excuse me. Paying the debt when it is due, obviously. You owe money, paid off. Having a debt is not good. I think most people know that. وَالتَّوْبَةُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ إِذَا أَذْنَبَ. Making repenting for sin when you sinned, try to make tawbah. Don't delay repentance, try to repent immediately. However, when it comes to the Qur'an, see, these are all things you're supposed to hurry up. When it comes to the Qur'an, تَدَبُّر, تَأَمُّلَات, تَفَكُّرَات, you're supposed to reflect. Think about it, let it digest. Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً. Why didn't the Qur'an come down in one shot? Allah says, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, so that your impassioned heart could be strengthened by it. That's why it came in slow succession. وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا, and we have spaced it out distinctively. This is part of Allah Ta'ala's divine style. Furthermore, what? Allah Ta'ala says, why does it come down? Slowly, to address different occasions. وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَأَهَا عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثٍ. وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ تَنْزِيلًا. It is a Qur'an that which we have separated into intervals that you might recite it to the people over a prolonged period. Different things will happen in your lives. Qur'an will come and address different contexts. If it all came down in one shot, no context, right? And we have sent it down progressively. This is part of our deen. And furthermore, Allah says, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Recite the Qur'an in a slow, rhythmic tone. So, and this ayah, of course, وَلَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ, is another example of it. Final point, inshallah ta'ala. Some people might say, but I like to recite quickly so I can memorize easier. I agree. MashaAllah, sometimes, you know, you go over an ayah a little quicker to memorize. However, what is the true secret to memorization? Wallahu alam, but it seems Ahmed ibn Hanbal, he tells us a beautiful secret of his. He says, مَا بَلَغَنِي حَدِيثٌ إِلَّا. He's talking about hadith. He's not talking about Quran. But still, the point is it's about memorization. He says, مَا بَلَغَنِي حَدِيثٌ إِلَّا عَمِلْتُ بِهِ وَمَا عَمِلْتُ بِهِ إِلَّا حَفِظْتُهُ. He says, I never came across a hadith except I tried to apply it. And when I apply it, I memorize it. So the objective behind memorization is not just about going quickly. The objective is to say, let me apply it, let me understand it, let me appreciate it, let me stand up and recite it in prayer. Let me really absorb it mentally. And inshallah, when you do that, and physically, like with your actions, with your words, with your conveying of da'wah, everything, then inshallah, even if you're slow in your hifz, inshallah, it will be more impactful and strong and beautiful. So I know we only covered one ayah, but I didn't want to move fast because it's saying don't move fast. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who appreciate the Qur'an and continue to memorize for life. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.